Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where your host, Guy Bennett, talks to leaders from some of the best and brightest companies operating in the small cap space today.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Today, I'm talking to Max Smith, CEO of Last Mile. The last time I talked to Max was just prior to the company beginning trading on March 9th, 2020. Boy, that was some timing. I believe on that day that the Dow dropped about 2,000 points and the whole coronavirus catalyzed carnage began. So that was very tough timing for Last Mile.
Yeah, I could say a very tough timing, or I could say, thank God we got our deal done. It was great timing because an hour later, the deal would not have gotten done.
Oh, really?
The market turned, we closed our deal on February 28th. The market, when we reopened the stock and the market reopened, it was a whole new world. So we're pleased to have closed our transaction, the acquisition of Gotcha. We're pleased to have received funding on that day.
Yes.
And we're actually in a very different position than most micromobility companies in that many other companies were raising significant amounts of capital, expanding their global footprint to be everywhere to everyone.
Mm.
Whereas we had focused on markets that are profitable, exclusive relationships, and we have secured permit for 80 different markets and 20,000 vehicles, but have not launched them. So for us, we didn't have to go around, Lime shut down 34 markets, 34 countries. Globally.
Yeah.
And so many companies had to pull back, whereas we had not overextended, do not have the overhead and infrastructure that other companies had built. And then many of our partners had asked us to stay open as an essential service.
Yes.
So these smaller relationships with our city and university partners, even universities that have closed down like Michigan State, they want us to reopen next week, that they still have faculty and students on campus and they'd like us to reopen the service. Baton Rouge has been an incredible marketplace for us that has grown exponentially during this period of time. So we've got e-bike, our pedal assist bike ridership that is up dramatically month over month because it's an important part of transportation and it become an important thread in the fabric of our local communities.
But I mean, I'm assuming I've got nephews that go to university and they're not there anymore. They're hunkering down at home. And by the nature of your business, you've got a, as it were, a physical product that would be touched by multiple people. So on a macro sense, I was thinking about Last Mile as all this is, as our world has been changing. I was thinking, this is going to be a, what I presume to be a short-term challenge. How have you been adapting in a macro sense?
I would say, yes, it's a short-term issue as the entire globe is figuring out how we operate in the new normal.
Yeah.
We have new protocols following the CDC guidelines about properly cleaning, maintaining our fleet of vehicles, wiping them down appropriately with antiseptic and other sanitation products, making sure that our employees are safe at all times and providing them with masks and gloves as we bring our fleet in or swap batteries to, or rebalance them.
Yes.
And some fleets are just running on a smaller basis because no one is going out. But it's interesting that even where you have a shelter in place, people need to go out and go shopping and get food or get some form of exercise. And that's where we've seen our products being used. And we've actually recently rolled out new delivery services in our markets as well, where we are making our seated vehicles, the seated scooter and e-bikes, available to restaurants for delivery services.
Would this strategy possibly be a long-term thing?
Oh, it's certainly a long-term thing. We've been doing food delivery for over a year now. We did an eight-month pilot with the largest mobile food delivery app.
Yes.
And our scooters were available for delivery people on that app, and we've used the data that we've learned through there to help tailor a delivery service where we can partner with restaurants. So when the delivery people were using the what was traditionally the Ojo seated scooter, delivery people would drive on average 35 miles a day,
yeah,
and would sometimes do 50 to 80 miles doing significant deliveries. And it's they reported back that it's typically 30% more efficient than a car or bicycle. So now we find ourselves working closely with restaurants who sometimes have to give up a third of their revenue to those delivery app companies.
Yeah.
And yeah, our value proposition is if you can use one of our vehicles, a seated scooter or e-bike, keep the margin to yourself and make your own food deliveries. And we think that's going to be a very big business for us. And today it's just helping and supporting our partners through a very difficult period of time. And long term, we think it's part of sort of the last mile investment thesis, that we're not only moving people around, but we're also delivering food, parcels, and packages in an efficient manner.
So that is very interesting, because it seems to me, I could say when I was a young man, there would be various times of my life where I would have probably been interested in a job delivering food. But if I didn't own a vehicle, that basically just removes a ton of friction for me to do that job.
That's right. And in the urban areas that are very dense in population, that's where we see this really being best, where the scooter, a seated scooter, is the most efficient and effective vehicle for getting around the city, for the same reasons that the micromobility space was really evolving out of this, you know, chance where most trips under 3 miles were in cars, and they can be done more effectively on bikes or scooters. So that's where we see the real value proposition, where you're not stuck in traffic, you're going along in the bike lane, you don't have a problem parking at the restaurant to pick up your orders, and then you can effectively deliver it to the customer. And so that's a big business, a growing business, and right now we're doing it slowly only in our partner cities where we currently operate.
So let me make sure I understand the proposition. I own a Thai food restaurant, and my phone's ringing all day with people that don't want to come in, but they want to eat Thai food. I would be renting a scooter from you for a flat fee and organizing my own labor force and saying, I've got the scooter, you don't need to worry about transportation, show up to work.
That's correct. And so we're currently rolling out plans for approximately $15 a day per vehicle. And that can go as low as $10 with multiple orders, where there are large restaurants who see significant delivery business and they've asked for up to 5 scooters at times and sometimes more. So in that way, if you have a $30 delivery order and traditionally you use Seamless, DoorDash, Grubhub, Uber Eats, one of the other services, that $30 order, you would often give up $10 right off the bat.
Yeah.
So with us, if you're paying that $10 for the delivery vehicle, you keep all that margin throughout the day for all the deliveries throughout the day. Then you can kind of recoup that cost with one order, the cost of the vehicle. And then all of the other subsequent orders you're maintaining a lot more margin.
Yeah.
Now, it's not free, of course. You need your delivery person or someone else on your staff who's making those orders. But presumably the partners that we've worked with, they have those people who can, who have time to do the deliveries, and that's where they're seeing better margins.
Yeah, and I'm assuming in a high density urban area, having a sit down e-scooter would speed up the delivery, because you don't have to, I'm assuming that you can park closer to your destination easier.
Yes, you pull right up on the sidewalk right in front of the restaurant. And so that really cuts significant time. And then the delivery people have the large cube backpacks that keep the food warm or cold, but keep them their temperature controlled and enable them to do, have a significant delivery and do that in a very time efficient way.
So, yeah.
So it enables them, as you said earlier, you don't need a vehicle to do this or participate in this space. And so it's much cheaper than a car ownership, which comes with insurance and fuel, et cetera. The average car costs $9,000 a year, upwards of $700 a month to maintain.
Yeah.
And so if you have access to a vehicle for food deliveries, we think it's a value proposition to many people.
Can those sit-down e-scooters be pulled up on sidewalks everywhere?
Yes.
Interesting.
Depends on every city is different, but the scooters, yeah. the sit-down scooter sits on a sidewalk, often in boxes that are stenciled by now. Many cities are creating parking areas either in the street with cones or on a sidewalk. They're built for the bike lane. They operate in the bike lane or the right-hand side of the road if there isn't a bike lane. That's where what makes the ease of use. You shouldn't be riding or driving on the sidewalk, but for parking, you come up onto the sidewalk.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes, you can do it through Google Play, you can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now.
Welcome back.
Max, last time we talked, you were talking a bit about your goals and ambitions for an app that would be able to, for instance, help deliver customers to retail areas. Obviously, that has cooled off in the short term, but I would like to know more about this app and what's happening with it and what your current goals are.
Like today, we operate a mobility network, and the Gotcha Mobility Network and that app, consumer-facing, is really designed for mobility solutions, giving people access to scooters, bikes, and sit-down scooters in any market. Now, the next evolution to grow our network is expanding that platform, being able to do other things beyond the simple mobility network. So, for instance, the first area that you'll see us expanding into is food delivery. So, within the our own app, in our market, there will be a food button, a to-go button, Gotcha To-Go, where you can order food from participating restaurants right through the Gotcha app, and that food will be delivered to you and delivered to you on a seated scooter or e-bike. So that's the beginning of commerce inside the app, where we're adding value. And then going one step further, there are also deliveries of packages, of parcels, of pharmaceuticals, of partnering with, say, a CVS or a drugstore where people need access to those types of deliveries. Retailers, we anticipate participating in this as well, but right now we're starting by launching food, and the to-go functionality will be rolled out very quickly in select markets, but then retailers, absolutely. So when we start moving back to a normal environment, whenever that may be, how can we help municipalities help drive people to those businesses as they begin opening up? And those could be marketing partnerships, advertising partnerships, mm-hmm. things that drive people to any end retailer by offering discounts.
So I see.
You know, I would say it takes a little while to do that now because we've got to just hope that we can get all the retailers back to a healthy place when they can reopen.
How are the food delivery numbers looking now?
In the cases where restaurants use our vehicles, they're very attractive. And so from the restaurateurs, they're the ones who see significant value in finding ways to participate in the marketplace and keep their restaurants open right now. I mean, most of them are only, you know, actually no restaurant is open, but they're only open to do takeout orders.
Yeah.
Thus far, it's been very promising.
It's good to hear that you've got an adaptive strategy for our new world. I'm really pleased to hear that. What else should our investors be aware of now as we're tracking last mile?
You know, I think what's attractive about us is that we do have a very robust fleet of vehicles, and so that's what's enabled us to get our exclusive relationships. And now we're just rolling out our deployments on a slower schedule. We're reacting and helping partner with our cities when they're ready. And many cities have sort of reached out to us and encouraged us to stay open as long as we deem it safe for our employees to provide this mobility service.
Yes.
So we're really happy about that. You know, that's where, you know, Mobile, Baton Rouge, Raleigh, Memphis, Texas, Charleston. As the market comes back, then we'll be expanding our marketplaces and beginning to relaunch all of the contracts that we have to get done over the summer. So the good news for us is the weather's improving, the marketplace is improving. We are seeing a resurgence in bikes, both pedal bikes and e-bike usage. And I think you're going to see a lot of people really migrate towards these mobility services, such as e-bikes and scooters, rather than taking a bus or public transit or an Uber or a Lyft.
I think it's also true that people will be looking for ways to not make large capital expenses. So the incentive to rent an e-scooter rather than buy a car will be higher.
right now, it's a new world order. And there's going to be a lot of pressure on the economy for people to cut costs and to even get out of a car lease payment and insurance payment and then only use those smaller, lighter mobility services like bikes and scooters when you need them.
Really nice talking to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That concludes another episode of Equity Gurus, A Closer Look. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.